Very good. Okay, so who wants to read the translation?
Well, who would you want to read for us, please?
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna.
Thank you. Hari Hari. So let's be Rupanugas and follow in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami by following Srila Prabhupada. And let's see, where are we up to exactly?
Page number 8.
Is that, whereabouts on page 8?
Oh, we start from the main paragraph. Krishna consciousness is all auspicious.
Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Okay. So we read last time about Krishna consciousness brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Mm-hmm. And now we're on to the second characteristic of pure devotional service, which is Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. So let's get a nice idea. Would you like to start reading,
please?
Yes. Bishop.
Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Srila Rupa Goswami has given a definition of auspiciousness. He says that actual auspiciousness means welfare activities for all the people of the world. At the present moment, groups of people are engaged in welfare activities in terms of society, community or nation. There is even an attempt in the form of the United Nations for World Health Activity. But due to the shortcomings of limited national activities, such a general mass welfare program for the whole world is not practically possible. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is so nice that it can render the highest benefit to the entire human race. Everyone can be attracted by this movement, and everyone can feel the result. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars agree that a broad propaganda program for the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity.
Mm. Very interesting. We're just, I don't know if you, I hope you managed to have some celebration here yesterday for Prabhupada's disappearance.
Yes, there
was. Okay, good. We were discussing in Prabhupada's room at Bhaktivedanta Mani yesterday how sometimes Prabhupada, he would have conversations with people, big people. And one time in Australia, Prabhupada was there, and this big government minister was having a discussion with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was explaining to him the principles of Krishna consciousness. And he was saying so to Prabhupada, surely you must accept that some ways, in somehow or another, you can do some good for people outside of this Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, no.
Just straight away, no.
Yeah, just told him, unless someone is Krishna conscious, actually he cannot do any good to anyone. Because what happens, if everyone is going to die, what good can you do them? If you're going to be killed today or tomorrow, what is the meaning of doing some good for this person? Unless you actually save them from death, then what good you can do them? They're going to be killed. Everyone's condemned. You know, it's like that famous book which begins, the condemned man ate a hearty breakfast. You know, he's going to be killed later that day, but he's eating a hearty breakfast. What good is it? You know, he's going to have his head hung. So, you know, what is the meaning? So here Prabhupada gives a very interesting, actually Srila Rupa Goswami has given the definition of auspiciousness. He says that actual auspiciousness means welfare activities for all the people of the world. So this is his definition of all actual auspiciousness, all auspiciousness. So if you do something for Krishna, if you use something for Krishna, just like now we're using these book stands for Krishna Katha. So the people who designed, even who thought of making the book stand this way, they're getting imperceptible benefit. The trees that had their limbs used for making these book stands, the living entities who had those bodies of trees, they're getting benefit. Yeah. That we're also getting benefit just by using them. Everyone is getting benefit, knowingly or unknowingly. Everyone is getting benefit. This is auspicious. You're getting some benefit. People generally, they want to go to a sadhu and say, Swamiji, please give me some ashirvad. You know, I want some blessings. You know. But what blessings do you want? You want blessings so you can have a nice life in the prison. What use are these blessings? But actual blessings mean you get out of this prison. Not only you get out of the prison, but everyone gets out of the prison. Those are actually auspicious blessings to get. Otherwise, what is the meaning of the blessings? You want to have an extra cigarette in your cell. Big deal. You know, what's the use of that? You know, you're suffering. You know, why don't you get out of the suffering condition? This is welfare activity. Simply trying to vaguely improve one's suffering condition, because it doesn't matter if you are a millionaire or if you're a pauper, the standard of death is still the same. You die. It's miserable. Is it not?
Yeah.
You get diseased, the standard of suffering of being diseased is the same, whether you're a millionaire, a billionaire or a pauper. You're still suffering from that disease. You cannot enjoy life in a diseased condition. So actual welfare, actual auspiciousness means to get out of the diseased condition. Otherwise it is inauspicious. Everything is bad. If you're going to be killed today or tomorrow, what is there that's so good? Yeah. Can you tell me? What is good? If today, later today, you're going to be killed, what good can I do for you? Is there anything?
Yeah.
What?
Give that person, you know, Krishna Prasad, Krishna.
Yeah, that you can do. This is auspicious. Because at least in their next life they're going to get a human birth and they're going to get a better chance to understand about Krishna. And if they keep on taking prasadam, one day they'll actually become devotees of Krishna. So yes, this is true. Try and feed them prasadam.
Did I?
Try and explain to them. Prabhupada was asked, he said, Prabhupada, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Because, you know, sometimes devotees will come to the temple and think, well, you know, maybe in 3 months or 6 weeks or, you know, or 5 weeks, I'll become a pure devotee of Krishna. I'll be Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada answered, he said, well, it takes 1 minute.
Sometimes 1 second as well, yeah.
Yeah, but he said, he answered, just 1 minute. That's all. That's all it takes. Just we have to agree, yes, let me surrender to Krishna. That's it. That's auspicious. So this is very nice to understand this principle that Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Nothing else is actually auspicious. So here you see, Prabhupada writes from Srila Rupa Goswami's book, at the present moment groups of people are engaged in welfare activities in terms of society, community or nation. We're going to go do some good for our society. We're going to do some good for our community. We're going to do some good for our nation. But what good you will do? And he explains, even this United Nations attempt for world help activity, but because these limited national activities have so many shortcomings, how do they actually help us? Such a general mass welfare program for the whole world is not practically possible. And still you're only going to even so-called benefit the people who were signed up to the United Nations. And what about the other creatures in the world? You're just talking about the human beings or the two-legged animals posing as human beings. Yeah. So what about the other animals? So these are very very nice. But Prabhupada says the Krishna consciousness movement, however, is so nice that it can render the highest benefit to the entire human race. Not only human race, even to the animals. Everyone can be attracted by this movement and everyone can feel the result. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars agree that a broad propaganda program for the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity. So the human beings, they have a chance to understand Krishna directly. So if you actually want to do some good for the human beings, if you actually want to love everyone in the world, try to spread Krishna consciousness and then all the human beings can benefit. Otherwise, simply dying. This is the principle. Any questions? Any comments? Anyone want to make any challenges?
No.
Is it okay?
Yeah, I have a question. What's the best way to get, like, you know, normal people, like non-devotees, to be attracted to Krishna? Like, what is it that you can do that will work out the best, like, whether it's book distribution or prasad distribution?
All these things. Try and get them to take books, try and get them to take prasadam, try and get them to chant the holy name. And then they have a chance of benefiting and understanding nicely. This question was also asked, this is another very interesting topic that came up yesterday in Prabhupada's room. The question was asked by Madhudvish Swami. He was known as the emperor of kirtan. He could really, really sing a great kirtan. And he asked Prabhupada once, how can we attract the ordinary people to Krishna? How can we make our kirtan attractive to the ordinary people? He said, Prabhupada's reply, he said, you don't have to attract anyone. You just attract Krishna. And then automatically it will be attractive. If by your chanting you attract Krishna, then automatically that chanting will be very attractive to others. You see how Prabhupada started the Krishna consciousness movement. He went into Tompkins Square Park, and because of his natural mood of service to Krishna, he was just chanting Hare Krishna, and people became attracted. You've seen the clips on the movies? You've seen the film?
Yesterday.
The people naturally became attracted to join in, because he was just trying to please Krishna. He's just trying to attract Krishna. And the result is that automatically people become attracted. That's how the Krishna consciousness movement started. That's how it spreads, actually. Does that answer your question? Just we have to try to perform devotional service to please Krishna. And automatically people will be benefited. And Prabhupada has given us so many books. He's given us brilliant kirtans. He's given us wonderful prasadam. He's given us so nice...
Mahamantra is a...
Yeah. This Mahamantra is so nice. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra in kirtan. You might be surprised. You know how sometimes we go on the streets and sometimes devotees are trying every couple of mantras to change the tune. You know? But Rabbatananda, he would sing on kirtan for Rath Yatra in London. And Prabhupada told him, just chant Hare Krishna and don't change the tune. Just chant Hare Krishna and don't change the tune. You know, for the whole Rath Yatra. And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was absorbed in the Hare Krishna mantra. And Prabhupada, he danced all the way from Marble Arch, you know, down to Trafalgar Square. You know, he'd been very, very sick. He'd come from, he wasn't even properly recovered, an old man, but he just danced the whole way. It was so blissful. You know. And it was, the sun came out and it was just amazing. A wonderful, wonderful experience. So this is what we can do. All three, whatever you can do. Try and get the books out. Prabhupada explained as much as possible. Try and get these books to people. We can explain as far as we have ability to do that. But if people get these books, and they actually open it up, finally one day, even they may not be ready at first, but one day when they open it up and they start reading, furthermore, a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, acting in devotional service, can develop all the good qualities that are generally found in the demigods. What's this? What happens when you actually open up these books and start reading them is, at last, we start to get some information about Krishna and about the spiritual world. This is very powerful. We can't underestimate how powerful this is. It's enough to change people's lives completely. It's very powerful. If we can, even if we don't understand what we read, it has very powerful effect. It has powerful effect because it attracts Krishna. This person, he's doing some service for me. He's starting to hear about me. After billions of births in this material world, he's starting to hear about me. Oh, very good. Come on. And if he does understand what he's reading, then he actually becomes thoughtful and starts thinking seriously about Krishna and starting to question, what is this about? Maybe you've experienced from reading Prabhupada's books that they provoke serious thought. You know, not just the everyday run-of-the-mill trash that goes through the mind, but actually serious thought about Krishna. So they're very powerful. So books are very, very good if we can get them out and try to read the books, understand the books, and tell people, look, this is what's in these books. These books are so good. You know, please take one. Please take one home and read it. You know, this is very good for you. Just give a donation, give something. Yeah. At least cover the cost of the book. Yeah. And get people to give something, make a little sacrifice for Krishna. Yeah. Their hard-earned, ill-gotten wealth. Just somehow or other, give it, okay, all right. At last, grudgingly or willingly, if they've given something to Krishna, the benefit Krishna appreciates. So this is very good. And they've got something tangible that they've sacrificed, their hard-earned, ill-gotten wealth. You know, even a little bit, they've given something to Krishna. Their spiritual life has begun. And when it blows up in their faces and they read what's gone on, you know, then it changes everything. So books are very, very powerful. Prabhupada, he wanted so much, he stressed so much book distribution. And he wanted us to read these books carefully as well, study these books. Not just read them, okay, I've read it. No, study them. Carefully try to understand what's actually in them. And that way we benefit. Which I hope you may agree is what we're trying to do. And he encouraged us. He would say to us, just try to understand. And as we try to understand, okay, Krishna gives from within the heart. He gives us some understanding, some chink of light. You know, curtains that have been closed for so many years. You know, little shaft of light comes in. Oh, something wonderful. Is it all right? So get the books out. Get people to chant Hare Krishna, somehow or other. Get them to take prasadam. And this Krishna consciousness is about chanting, dancing and feasting. Yeah. It's a very nice thing. So somehow or other, people can, everyone can be attracted by this Krishna consciousness movement. Is it okay? You have a question? Yeah.
No, same thing about Kevin Prabhu as well. You know, his father moved the boat. His father moved this sense of self-realization, you know.
Who is this?
Kevin Prabhu.
Kevin, all right.
Yeah. You know, he told one story here. His father bought that book, Science of Self-Realization,
you know,
from some devotees 20 years back. And he was lying in his cell, you know, all the time, you know. And his father didn't read it, you know. Just left it as it is. And Kevin Prabhu, you know, he was
found it one day in the attic.
Then he read it, you know, and everything opened up, you know.
It's well, I've been seeing Kevin the last 2 days down at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He's shaved up, he's blissful, and he's fully engaged in devotional service. He's very fired up. Yeah. He's wearing saffron, he's got regular service, he's doing everything. He's on fire. Just you have to light the spark.
Yes, because what happens, his father bought the book 20 years ago, his father bought the book, you know. Nothing happened to the family member. After 20 years, you know, that book pays off, you know.
Yeah. You don't know who's actually even going to get to read that book. But you try and get the books out. Therefore, Prabhupada was very keen that we actively, practically, tangibly try to get people to take these books. So it's good stuff. Rohit?
I think probably you mentioned the winter months are a good time to distribute the books as well. December, January time. I think he mentioned it because of the miserable time of the year in the dark and all that. It's a good time to go out and...
Actually, any time.
Any time, but I think the most winter time is mentioned. Yeah, any time. But...
Well, I know that in the winter time we have the Christmas marathon. Yeah. And during the month of December, so many devotees, they go out on the streets all day just trying to get people to take these books, and they distribute tens and thousands and millions of books during the Christmas marathon. Actually, millions and millions of people get these books on the marathon. It's very powerful. So if you want to participate, we can do it. Maybe we can go out together on Saturday afternoon and distribute books. How about that? Just try. There's some things we can learn how to do it easily. You know, so people aren't offended, but they, you know, find it amusing and interesting, and they're curious. Okay, take a book. My radio program now starts at from 3 till 5. So. It means that while the devotees are doing Harinam, the chanting, then that's some time now which I, at last, after all these years, I can get to come and join in the Harinam. But we can take that time also, while the chanting is going on, that nice sound vibration is there in the background making people feel good. That's a great time to distribute books also. So if you feel like it, maybe we can do something this weekend. What do you reckon?
Idea.
You all come on Harinam on Saturday.
I'll go every Saturday.
What time does it start? Because
half past one.
Because I leave for my work at 2 o'clock.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah, I leave Leicester at 2 o'clock. So.
Okay. Well, if you have even a few minutes, you're very welcome.
Yeah, I'll try and come along. Maybe you can probably, you know. Meet up there at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
We can start distributing books.
Sure, yeah. No problem. That would be nice. And it's actually not so difficult to do. And it's a lot of fun.
I can come there at 1 o'clock.
Okay, let's give it a go.
Because you've got other devotees, you know, from other towns like London, they come usually and distribute books.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do this. They spend all day just distributing books, and they're in bliss, because actually you don't know until you've tried it how blissful it is.
They're coming tonight as well from London.
Are they coming tonight? Oh good, okay, very good. So that means we get a chance. Okay, very
tonight.
Good.
10 o'clock they'll be here.
Oh yeah, at Temple. Okay.
You can meet with them, you know, see how they distribute the books, you know, learn, you know.
Yeah. That is a great. Yeah, if you learn from the experts, they're expert, you know, and they'll teach you some good things. You know, and they it's not like harassment or heavy activity. It's very mellow, blissful, enthusiastic, and rewarding activity. So it's good. Okay, let's see what we can do to pursue this. Good. So, okay, who'd like to read the next paragraph? Okay.
How the Krishna consciousness movement can attract the attention of the whole world, and how each and every man can feel pleasure in this Krishna consciousness is stated in Padma Purana as follows. A person who is engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is to be understood to be doing the best service to the whole world and to be pleasing everyone in the world. In addition to human society, he is pleasing even the trees and animals, because they also become attracted by such a movement. A practical example of this was shown by Lord Chaitanya when he was travelling through the forest of Jharikhanda in central India for spreading his Sankirtan movement. The tigers, the elephants, the deer and all the other wild animals joined him and were participating in their own ways by dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. Furthermore, a person engaged in Krishna consciousness acting in devotional service can develop all the good qualities that are generally found in the demigods. It is said by Sukhdev Goswami in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, verse 12. My dear king, persons who have unflinching faith in Krishna and are without any duplicity can develop all the good qualities of the demigods. On account of a devotee's high grade of Krishna consciousness, even the demigods like to live with him, and therefore it can be understood that the qualities of the demigods have developed within his body.
Mm. Any thoughts or questions or comments on what we're reading here?
He said that all the good qualities of demigods are automatically manifest in the devotees.
Mm. Actually, we see this, that the devotees, people who become devotees of Krishna, gradually they develop all the good qualities.
Mm. Without seriously trying for it as well, it comes automatically.
Yeah. It's a fact. Prabhupada commented one time, he said, actually, even nasty people are becoming devotees. We see this. Even nasty people. So, if we take to Krishna consciousness in all seriousness, then actually the good qualities develop.
Hippies, they were the low-grade person of America, you know, the hippies, you know, not the top-grade person, but the lowest of the low, you know.
Yeah.
Still, they are the first to become Krishna conscious, you know.
Yeah, actually attracted.
Mm.
When Prabhupada was asked by a news reporter, he said, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada replied, he said, well, it is something else. You know better than me.
Srimad asked Prabhupada, what good have you done to this country, your movement, you know, and Prabhupada said that I have transformed these hippies into happy people. Happy.
Yeah, return the hippies into happies.
Happy, yes, and they yeah. Say, what do you mean by hippies? And then Prabhupada said, you know better than me, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's on that film, the Hare Krishna people, isn't it?
I've seen that in a film, you know,
something
about it, you know.
Yeah.
Video, yeah.
So this is actually the result, that people become actually feeling good about Krishna. And if they go away with a book feeling good, then it's very nice. Even if they can't appreciate yet how this is going to change their lives, still by taking it and going away, even if they put it in their bag and then forget all about it, sooner or later, it will act, and they even unknowing, even if they don't understand what they just did, they just got a book about Krishna. Yeah, even people don't understand at all the import of what they've just done in their lives. They've got the incredible benefit by taking a book about Krishna, just by touching it. Actually, this is pious. This is very pious. Just touching it, even seeing it, is very auspicious. What to speak of actually reading it? What to speak of actually trying to understand the subject matter that's inside there? Just by seeing these books, they become purified. This is an extraordinary fact, that they have such powerful effect. And just by hearing you explain to them simply what's in this book, trying to show them, yes, you should take one home. This is very good. You've heard about yoga. You've heard about karma and reincarnation, and you know. Then this book will tell you all about this. This is very good. So we're, you know, passing out these books today. We want you to take one home. Just give a small contribution to help with the cost. Thank you very much. How about that? Not very difficult.
But it said that all the holy rivers and holy places dwells in Bhagavad Gita as well, holy books as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have them in your house as well, you know, your house becomes purified by itself, you know, that's it. You know.
This is the fact. And that one who even carefully keeps the Srimad Bhagavatam on his bookshelf gets immense spiritual benefit. But they get even more spiritual benefit when they finally reach out for that book and finally take it off the shelf and hold it and look at it. What is this? Knowingly or unknowingly, it's starting to change the life. So if we do something knowingly, we get even more benefit. This is what Krishna told Nanda Maharaj. He told Nanda Maharaj that, why are you doing this sacrifice for Indra? You know, because if you do something knowingly, you may get, unknowingly, you may get some result. But if you're doing it knowingly, you get far more result. Actually. So this is the thing. And we can participate in that. So we were just talking about doing some book distribution on Saturday afternoon. Because now my radio program's coming a bit later. So, going on the streets, joining the Harinam party and passing out a few books. You want to come along? Anyway, if you get time afterwards, then it's very nice. So we were just looking at this point that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, verse 12, my dear king, persons who've unflinching faith in Krishna and are without any duplicity, can develop all the good qualities of the demigods. On account of a devotee's high grade of Krishna consciousness, even the demigods like to live with him. And therefore it can be understood that the qualities of the demigods have developed within his body. The demigods, they like to live in nice society. You see how it works. Birds of a feather flock together. The swans, they like to live with the other swans. The crows, they like to live with the crows. The ducks, they're all together doing what they do. But the demigods, you think the demigods will want to waste their time living with nasty people? It said in the Kali Yuga, they don't even come to the earth to pass urine. There's nothing for them here. But when there's a body of a demigod, when there's a devotee, then those devotees, they naturally develop those qualities, and the demigods like to live with. You see the story of Narada Muni. When they, when Indra and the demigods, they captured Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. They were, you know, they didn't want to harass Kayadu, but they wanted to kill the child in the womb because they thought he's going to be an even worse demon like his dad. So, but Narada Muni told them, actually, you can't kill this child, because he's actually a Mahabhagavata. He's a great devotee. So on the statement of Narada Muni, the demigods were very happy. And instead of taking Kayadu away to kill the child later, they actually offered obeisances and circumambulated Kayadu, understanding that there's a Mahabhagavat devotee inside the womb of this child. So they like actually to associate with devotees. So that means their good qualities automatically become manifest. Not that you have to go to training school to start developing compassion and knowledge and so many things. Our training comes just trying to understand Krishna. Gradually these things manifest within the heart. This is the fact. Natural principle. So, and this example is being given that Prabhupada is explaining here that in the Padma Purana it stated that a person who is engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is to be understood to be doing the best service to the whole world and to be pleasing everyone in the world. And it further goes on to say, in the Padma Purana, in addition to human society, he's pleasing even the trees and animals because they also become attracted by such a movement. Even living entities who've taken birth in lower species. And the nice example is how when Lord Chaitanya would go in South India dancing through the Jarikanda forest, then it was such an amazing wonderful experience. His servant Krishnadas was going with him to hold his water pot and danda. Well, because Lord Chaitanya, he would chant on his fingers. So his servant Krishnadas would carry his clothes, his spare clothes, and his water pot and danda for him so he could chant. And when Lord Chaitanya was chanting and dancing in ecstasy in the Jarikanda forest, he would see the tigers and the deer and the other creatures, and he would tell them, chant Hare Krishna. And they would all start, and the elephants, they would all start dancing. Even the tigers and the deer, they were kissing and chanting and dancing and being completely forgetful of their envious natures and overwhelmed with love of Krishna. Of course, we may not be able to imitate Lord Chaitanya, but at least we can try to get the human beings to chant and dance. And then it's very nice. So this is our Sankirtan process. It actually has that effect on people. So it's very good. Any questions or comments?
Is there a photo there?
No, so
animal in the photo, Shiko?
Yeah, I don't know, it might be in the editions. But
yeah.
Some animals standing and chanting.
Yeah,
and
in the forest of Jarikanda. I don't know if it's in your volume there.
Not on this one, I don't know.
But it's a very nice picture. It's not in this volume that I have, but I'm working on a different one.
It must be in Chaitanya-amrita, you're not on this one, you know?
Yeah,
it might be there. Yeah, it's there.
It's not here, you know?
Okay, but you know the picture we're talking about.
Yeah.
Very blissful Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Yeah. So, okay. Any thoughts? Okay. So Rohit Prabhu, let's have a little bit from you, please, if we may.
On the other hand, a person who is not in Krishna consciousness.
Sorry, we're on page 9.
Page number 9.
Page number 9, just in the middle of the page there.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
Have you found it? Okay.
On the other hand, a person who is not in Krishna consciousness has no good qualities. He may be highly educated from the academic point of view, but in the actual field of his activities, he can to be seen to be baser than the animals. even though a person is highly educated academically, if he cannot go beyond the sphere of mental activities, then he is sure to perform only material activities and thus remain impure. There are so many persons in the modern world who have been highly educated in the materialistic universities, but it is seen that they cannot take up the movement of Krishna consciousness and develop the high qualities of the demigod.
Mm. This is a fact. Prabhupada, he went to Russia and he met with their topmost science professor, Professor Kotovsky. You sometimes hear Prabhupada referring to this in his classes or his conversations. And he would quote Professor Kotovsky, their most learned man, right? And he would say, Swamiji, after life, after death, there is nothing. There is no life. This is the limit of his knowledge. Yeah. The best academic scholar. Yeah. And he's thinking like that. Yeah. What he's teaching. How anyone can benefit from hearing from such a person. What will they understand? How will they improve their lot in the human form of life? By hearing from such foolish people. And practically you see that people are very, very academically advanced. But does that mean they become intelligent enough to understand about Krishna? It means they become fools. You know the argument that was there. The professor is chastising the student because he's saying, how can you believe in God? You haven't seen God, therefore how can he exist? So the boy replied, well, has anybody seen your brain? How do we know you have a brain? We've never seen it. And this is a fact. So just they come up with stupid statements. You know, because you haven't seen God. What right you've got to see God? But you can see God's hand everywhere if you've got any eyes at all. You can see the plants, you can see the trees, you can see your own body. Where has this body come from? You know, but people are so blind. They don't see this living, developing tissue. And that I'm changing body. Such a wonderful design. Even the eyeball that with which you can see it. Who can design that? Or the ear so that you can hear it. If you look at medical science and you see the picture of an ear, an exploded view of the ear, and you just see what a fantastic creation it is that enables you to actually hear sound. That people are vibrating with this collection of incredible muscles we call the tongue. Yeah. What sort of design is that? Yeah. That can communicate thoughts and ideas with just a tongue and an ear. Who has designed this? Yeah. And you're saying, no, there is no God. But this is simply foolishness. So someone may be very elevated by material standards, but unless they're actually devotees, then they don't actually develop any good qualities. You know, people generally consider that this is a good person. But unless they develop Krishna consciousness, factually, they have no good qualities. Because the mentality of the animal is how to enjoy this world. And the mentality of the two-legged human being who has no understanding of God, his only consideration is how to enjoy this world. And in the course he may consider, but by his activities he's doing some good for other people. But actually he cannot do any good for anyone else. You cannot do any good for someone who is going to die, today or tomorrow. What good can you do? And the mentality is like that. Prabhupada explains here, if he cannot go beyond the sphere of mental activities, then he's sure to perform only material activities and thus remain impure. So there's no purification unless we actually start to engage in spiritual activities, activities to satisfy Krishna. Then we're simply only engaged in material activities. This is the principle. And here, there are so many persons in the modern world who have been highly educated in the materialistic universities, but it is seen that they cannot take up the movement of Krishna consciousness and develop the high qualities of the demigods. It's not possible. Even their so-called welfare work, only if it benefits them in some way. Yeah. Or they think they will get some benefits, some credit, some fame, some piety, some notoriety. It's not done with any understanding that this person is a jiva soul. How to actually help them? What good can you do? You simply give them more material food, or try to prolong the condition of suffering in the material world in this life. For what purpose? What benefit will they get? Today or tomorrow you're going to be killed. Therefore there is no question of doing good. This is the thing. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay.
I want one broadcast, you know, by one of our devotees, you know. Himself, he's a university graduate as well, you know.
Okay.
He said, I spent nearly £50,000, you know, graduating universities, you know, and I learned nothing. But I spent £5 buying this book, Krishna book, and I learned everything. That £50,000 in 5 years is just wasted, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of money and wasted life as well. But this one book, you know, which I only paid £5, you know, I donated some £5 to somebody, you know. And it has given me real life.
This is very nice. So we have to be able to be convinced of these facts and try to give these books to others. Let other people take these books. Get them to take them somehow or other. So we have to be a little intelligent and help them. Because that way we can do them some good. Very good. Yeah. Or even if they, you know, if we can get them to take prasadam, or even if they can't take prasadam, just get them to say Hare Krishna. Yeah. It won't even cost them anything.
Even if they hear Hare Krishna mantra, they are benefited as well.
If they hear and if they chant,
more benefited.
And if they appreciate that these devotees, they're nice, a bit strange, but you know, quite nice people. And they're benefiting because they're appreciating a devotee. So it's not bad. Anything they do for Krishna, Krishna notices. Oh, he's taking the account. Okay, that's good. That's a little start. Okay, come on. How about that? Dasika, do you want to read a little for us, please?
For example, For example, Krishna conscious boy, even if he is really struggling to read to the
eyes. Oh, your eyes are not, okay, alright.
I'll read it in your book.
Okay.
For example, a Krishna conscious boy, even if he is not yet very well educated by the university standard, can immediately give up an illicit sex life, gambling, meat eating and intoxication. Whereas those who are not in Krishna consciousness, although very highly educated, are often drunkards and meat eaters, sex mongers and gamblers. These are practical proofs of how a Krishna conscious person becomes highly developed in good qualities, whereas a person who is not in Krishna consciousness cannot do so. We experience that even a young boy in Krishna consciousness is unattached to cinema, nightclubs, naked dance shows, restaurants, liquor shops, etc. He becomes completely free. He saves his valuable time from being extravagantly spent in the ways of smoking, drinking, attending the theatres and dancing. One who is not in Krishna consciousness usually cannot sit silently even for half an hour. The yoga system teaches that if you become silent, you will realize that you are God. This system may be all right for materialistic persons, but how long will they be able to keep themselves silent? Artificially they may sit down for so-called meditation, but immediately after their yogic performance they will engage themselves again in such activities as illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and many other non-sensual things. But a Krishna conscious person gradually elevates himself without endeavoring for this so-called silent meditation. Simply because he engages in Krishna consciousness, he automatically gives up all this nonsense and develops a high character. One develops the highest character by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. The conclusion is that no one can truly have any good qualities if he is lacking Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do we learn from this then?
You said that even a young boy, you know, who is not educated, you know, can still become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
But the educated man, you know, he just can't give up his bad habits, you know.
Yep.
Very difficult for him to give up. But the young boy, you know, not uneducated, can give up very easily.
People are shocked that how can these devotees formally, and this was the argument that Prabhupada was giving to this big government minister in Australia. He said these people formerly, they were, well, a lot of them were hippies, you know, of no value to society. You know, not with good qualities, engaged in all kinds of activities. You know. But now, they're not interested in intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, and meat eating. Actually, this movement is doing good. It's turning them into good citizens. It's turning them into pious people who are actually doing activity to help the rest of the world. Whereas formerly, they were not doing anything good for anyone, not even for themselves. So just see the effect of Krishna consciousness. And therefore Prabhupada is explaining to this government minister, therefore you should help our movement. You should help our Krishna consciousness movement spread. That will be good activity for your government. You want to solve the problems of so many people who have all bad habits and vicious activities, crazy activities, destructive activities. Then help us spread this Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada's argument. By simply taking up a Krishna consciousness, people can give up all these bad qualities and activities and develop nice qualities and good activities. So why don't you help us spread Krishna consciousness? Generally, they're not very interested. But still, we have to try. And hopefully, some intelligent people will get the idea and try and help us. Just like we were also reading yesterday at Bhaktivedanta Manor about how Prabhupada, he developed this mood to how to come to the West. Yeah. And he would tell everyone he met that he wanted to come to the Western countries and preach. You know, here's this 69-year-old man, you know, poverty-stricken, you know, but he wants to go to the West and preach. And it just so happened that one day he got a call, he got a letter from the government department saying that his clearance papers had come through to go to stay and visit the United States. And Prabhupada was shocked. He said, but I didn't even sign any form. I didn't fill any form or make any formal request. And here's the Indian government office sending me a letter that now I've got my clearance for leaving India to go and, you know, visit and stay in America. How is that? So he looked at the form and he saw that it was signed by this businessman who he'd met and said to him that I want to go and stay in the West and preach. I want to go to the West and preach because this was the order of his spiritual master. And this chap, Mr. Agarwal, had told Prabhupada, yes, I'll see if I can get my son to sponsor you. And that was the end of that. And then Mr. Agarwal, he got his son to sponsor Prabhupada from in America to agree that, yes, I'll sponsor him. I'll take care of all his expenses while he's out of India. There's no problem. Because otherwise it's very difficult from India to even get a passport and get out of India. Yeah. So, and this is going back right then into the, in the 60s and 70s. And Prabhupada was very surprised that, you know, he'd taken it seriously. And he thought, yes, let me help him. So we don't know who we're going to meet. And we don't know how those people will be able to help. But simply we have to try. And see what we can do to help this Krishna consciousness movement spread. We can be very, very surprised. Prabhupada was shocked when he got this letter. I didn't sign any form. But still it happened. Somebody, he got the idea. Yes, let me help him. And this is wanted. This is preaching. How do somehow or other convince people to let me try and help spread this Krishna consciousness movement. For whatever their reason, for whatever their motive, if somehow or other they want to do something, then that's good. Krishna appreciates. You can't expect that everyone you meet will be a good person, because after all, they're not devotees. People haven't got all the good qualities of the demigods. And so we're not going to find that everyone is going to be blissful and say, oh, Hari Bol, yeah, I want to take a book. Yeah. It's not like that. But rather, if somehow or other they become attracted and interested, then they can agree, okay, let me do something that's not so bad. Let me just try something and see what happens. Very powerful. So, anyway, this is a point also you can see that the idea is to save our valuable time from engaging in all these nonsense activities and actually be engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gives the example that people can't sit silently even if they go for their meditation and yoga classes. What does yoga mean?
Linking with Krishna?
Yeah, somehow or other. To somehow or other link with God. But people don't know that. And they think meditation, yes, I'll become, you know, I'll be able to control my mind and I'll be able to make money better, or, you know, I'll be more cool, or whatever it may be, or I'll lose weight, or whatever it may be. But people try and sit in meditation, but people have no idea what to meditate upon. What is the use of their meditation? They have no idea what to meditate on. And even if you can get them to sit quiet for a few minutes, you know, who can sit quietly like that? Because the mind is so restless and unsteady. And then as soon as the so-called meditation is done, they go out and have a cigarette or do all the other nonsense things that people do. So what is their linking activity with God? But here Prabhupada explains, but a Krishna conscious person gradually elevates himself without endeavoring for the so-called silent meditation. That's not our program. Our program is active service in Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, dancing, taking prasadam, doing some service for Krishna, trying to tell others about Krishna. I remember I was just a 17-year-old boy with long hair down to here. I visited the temple in Manchester, and at last, you know, I met the devotees after so much time, and just all I wanted to do was go out on the streets and get people to take these back to Godhead, and whatever little I could understand, I was trying to tell people about Krishna. You know, Krishna is so amazing. Do you realize he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's the master of this whole universe. You know, just try and can't you understand that actually this body is changing, but it's the person who's inside the body that we have to really get serious about. There's so many things, whatever little I could understand, but it made us very enthusiastic to go out and give back to Godheads to people, get people to take her back to Godhead. In fact, on my first day out on the street practically, in Manchester we had this television program called Look North. I don't know if ever you came across it, but that was the TV program of the day, and this chap from the TV program, he saw me on the street, and there was me with the long hair. Of course, in those days, we didn't know anything about much, so They dressed me up in saffron cloth. I was a brahmachari. Didn't know what it was, but anyway, this is what we did. And I still had my long hair because Rancho hadn't gotten around to telling me that, sorry, back to Tony, but you're going to have to shave your head. That came some weeks later. But they invited me, said, why don't you come on this TV program and tell us about Krishna? Even the first day I went out on the street.
Okay. So what happened?
I was a bit shy. And so I said, well, I don't think I really know enough to be able to do that at this stage. But so I didn't go.
All right.
But it did happen with Tribhuvanath, because Tribhuvanath, whose disappearance day was the other day, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but he'd left home when he was 16. His parents hadn't seen him for a few years. 15 or 16, he'd left home. And what happened was he was living in the Berry Place Temple in London in front of the British Museum. And I think it was Dhananjaya, who was the president of Berry Place Temple. Prabhupada had written him a letter saying you should come to India. So Dhananjaya had gone off to India, and here's Tribhuvanath, who's now 18. And Dhananjaya says him, okay, you're in charge now, you're the president. Yeah, you're the president of the London Temple, so yeah, okay, all right, whatever. And then what happened is the TV crew comes around, and they want to interview the Hare Krishna movement. And so his parents, after having not seen him for years, they see this BBC TV interview. And here's their son, the head of the Hare Krishna movement in England, giving an interview about Krishna consciousness. So, we have to have a little sense of adventure to do these things. But anyway, Tribhuvanath's very...
They saw him on the TV, at least you know he's there, you know,
yeah.
The president.
Yeah. We have to be ready to accept some service for Krishna. Okay, so let's call a halt for tonight, shall we, and have a little kirtan? Let's try this chanting of Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Itai gaur premanandi hari bol.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivisesha Sanyavadi Pastyacharya Shatara.